This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Let's tell everybody what our friend John Connor from Mad Friars texted you during the break.
Johnny, always listening. He said, yeah, don't forget Eggy Rosario. He's 892 OPS in El Paso. He's only 24 years old and can play a bunch of different places. It didn't get enough of a look, I don't think, last year, but that's somebody to look at moving forward, too. Don't know that he's an everyday shortstop type, but again, a guy that can play, what, three positions in the infield? That's pretty solid. Pretty solid guy to have. Also trade bait. So,
yeah, I mean, I think there are always a few prospects that we know of and we don't know of that A.J. Preller has stocked his farm system with. And if any of them come through and start producing regularly on the big league level, that's a huge, unexpected win. I would be surprised if the Padres are like planning on Eggy Rosario being a starter out of spring training next year, but he will get an opportunity, I would expect, unless he's traded as part of a package, which is, of course, always a possibility for AJ as well. But young enough and, got some of that flexibility and hit at AAA. Can he do it on the big league level? Hope so. Yeah, the more homegrown prospects that you can turn into bona fide big leaguers, we see that in other organizations. That is always a ticket to more success. Young, controllable, inexpensive players that you then supplement around with, spend your budget on a couple of big name stars, and that's the path to generally competitive baseball every single year.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Cleveland Guardians lineup right now, and you're looking at it and you're going, wow. I mean, the guys that they have, they're not household names at all. Stephen Kwan is such a delight to watch hit. I mean, what a delight. The guy hits everything, lefties, righties. He's just electric. He's what we want Luis Arraez to be, but he's also a plus defender out there in left field, and he's so fun to watch. But then you got the David Fries and the Rocchios and the guys like that they're up there, man, and they are feet thrown into the fire. It is nuts to see.
Tough one last night for the Cleveland Guardians, including Rocchio, a Gold Glove finalist who dropped a pop-up that led to the Yankees' first run. They added a couple of more in the second inning and forced Tanner Bibee out of the game. And, the playoffs, again, are unpredictable. But what you're hoping for is at least when your stars come up with a chance to do damage. And that happened in the second inning last night in the ALCS when the Yankees, the Guardians had the tough decision of having to walk Juan Soto to load the bases in front of Aaron Judge. Meanwhile, when the Guardians later had a chance in the game to get back into it, they got the bases loaded too. You know who came up? Austin Hedges. That's not putting your team in the best position. Now, once in a blue moon, Austin Hedges will hit the grand slam and Aaron Judge will strike out there. But the more times you get Aaron Judge up, eventually he's going to do damage. And while in that second inning, he hit a sacrifice fly. Later in the game, he added a two-run home run for his first of the postseason as the Yankees went on to the 6-3 win over the Cleveland Guardians to take a 2-0 series lead. And I believe I saw the stat. When you're up 2-0 in a best of seven, you get an 84% chance of going on to win the series. So, Yankees are in extremely good shape as they head to Cleveland for games 3-4 and, if necessary, game 5 of that series.
It was the whole thing has changed for them right now because of Gleyber Torres and what he's done at the top of their lineup. And he's seemingly on every single time, which is great. I mean, that's setting the table for the big guys. And Juan Soto continues to play very well also. I think Stephen Vogt, I don't want to sit and say he made a mistake pulling Bibee so early, but Bibee had good stuff last night. He did. His stuff, he actually got hosed on a call to Soto that was totally a strike, and then a guy dropped the pop fly, and he minimized that damage there. Those guys that got on, did he walk? Did he intentionally walk Soto? How did the two guys on get on in front of him? I don't remember.
I don't remember specifically.
It was bath time, and I came in, and I went, oh, God, bases are loaded, and they just walked Soto to get to Judge. Judge hits a sack fly. So it was a little bit, I don't want to say overmanaged, because that's how he's done it all year. But we saw
single,
this.
Single,
single. Single, single.
And then Verdugo doubled, and then they intentionally walked Soto.
Yeah. And, but we, you know, we saw the kind of the same thing. They're not messing around with these starters. I mean, Gerrit Cole only went 4 1/3. It was laborious, man. They were getting some good swings off on him last night as well. Josh Naylor, two really, really solid hits to right field. But yeah, man, I'm watching this last night going, you've really outmanaged yourself in the third inning. And when you have Hedges coming up, because they pinch hit for their catcher, then they don't have another guy that can do it. So Hedges is your guy from the fourth inning on. You're screwed. Guy comes up with the base loaded, came up the other night to end the game. And it's just like, dude, you start him. If you have two catchers, or I think they even have three catchers. No, it's him and Bo Naylor, I think. Start Hedges. Start him. So that then, in a situation like that, then you can use a pinch hitter and put Naylor in for defense. I understand you may be sacrificing a little bit defensively because Austin Hedges is still a really good defender. Just start him. Start him. Try to get some runs. I don't understand having nobody left on your bench in a moment like that when you know that guy with his 300 OPS plus is not coming through. It's brutal, brutal, and Guardians fans were livid last night.
Couple more thoughts. First, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. We're about 3 minutes away from our game. Call now, 833-288-0973. Want to challenge Woods in our daily musical trivia game for prizes and fun. 833-288-0973. Phone lines are completely open. If you've never played, first-timers are always welcomed here on Take on Woods. Give us a call. Right now, 833-288-0973. I think for the Guardians, they do have a pitching dilemma. So they placed Alex Cobb. He's done. They took him off the postseason roster with back spasms or back issues. So he's out. He can't even come back in the World Series. So they're a little short on starting pitching now. Presumably, Matthew Boyd will start Game 3 tomorrow.
Yep.
But then in Game 4, I heard some speculation that one of the reasons that Stephen Vogt took out Tanner Bibee so fast is they may need to bring him back quickly for another game because of their starting pitching issues. So it's possible that the quick hook was done with the thought of, well, you know, this one we're already down. Let's come and bring him back earlier. I don't know that that's really a great recipe for success, but desperate times call for desperate measures, and now I think the Guardians are in desperation mode. They, as you said, they had a chance against Cole. Great job by the Yankees bullpen, though. 4 2/3 shutout innings, including an inning and 2/3 perfect from Tim Hill in that game, who came through for the Yankees.
Bro, they get Clay Holmes up, who was their closer, to get them out of an inning, and everyone on the planet is thinking, well, Clay Holmes is going to come back out. I mean, he just, you know, he had to get one or two outs, and he's rested. Tim Hill pitched last night, gave up three straight singles. He starts 2-0 to the first hitter, and I'm like, oh my God, dude, Aaron Boone's about to get murdered. But it worked out. Timmy Hill gets him in order and pops off the mound and just got himself a really nice scoreless inning in the ALCS. Insane.
And obviously, if Judge does get locked in, you know, he hasn't been there yet, that changes the entire equation for the New York Yankees going forward.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's a guy who can completely put the team on his back. Like Shohei Ohtani can with the Dodgers. Hasn't really done so yet, but could. And it's always that looming, if you're the opponent of one of those teams, How long can we keep these guys really quiet?
The swing he had with the bases loaded, I thought it was gone. I thought it was gone. I thought it was 50 rows deep.
The home run, I thought, was an out.
So did I. I thought that was an out. And the swing he put on with the bases loaded, I went, oh, my God, talk about an all-time backfire. And, you know, you look, and they're still in it, man. The Guardians, that game felt like it should have been about 14-0. And Yankees didn't hit with runners in scoring position. The Guardians just could not get it going offensively. Were able to get to Cole a little bit. But, I mean, it was some of the tough, like, the toughest 4 1/3 innings from Gerrit Cole I've seen a guy pitch. I mean, he was laboring out there, man. Four walks, you know, is just not, that's not great. The Guardians can grind, and they need to find a way to steal a game to keep this thing interesting.
All right, yeah, still a question for you. Still looking for a take on what's contested, by the way. 833-288-0973, call now. Does this series get back to New York even for a game six? The Guardians would have to win 2 out of 3 at home just to get it back to the situation where then they'd have to win both games in New York. That's really the task that's in front of them. That's why it's so hard to come back from 2-0. Yeah, you can take 2 or 3 at home. Absolutely. The Guardians are good enough. They can win a series at home against the Yankees.
Yeah.
But all that does them is get them to a spot where then they have to sweep 2 at Yankee Stadium. They really do 3 if they want to feel like they've got a really good chance to win the series.
Who's on the bump?
Tomorrow,
Boyd,
they have an announcement. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see. Probably Boyd, but Clark Schmidt for the Yankees, and I think it probably ends in Cleveland.
I do too.
Probably game 5, maybe 4-1. I don't know if it'll be a sweep, but I think the Yankees are going to be back to the World Series. First time since 2009 that they have been in the Fall Classic, and that's a long stretch. It's 15 years.
What do you make of the because it's mostly Dodger fans that are saying they're sick because of the easy path to the World Series. Is there an easy path to the World Series? There's an easier.
There's easier path.
This is an easier one. But man,
it's very respectful of Dodgers fans because they're implying that their path has been very hard so far. And the only team they've played so far is the Padres.
That's right. So well, they you know the hottest team in baseball in the Padres allegedly, and then the Devil Magic Mets.
Regardless of how it turned out, I still believe that might be the best series. 100%.
Right. We will have more baseball talk later. Right now, it is time for Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
Now everyone's calling in. Let's go with James. Is our contestant for Take on Woods. It's brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car for directions and discounts. Go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. James, what are you up to this morning?
Oh, just sitting with the 500,000 of my best friends in traffic.
Nice. All right. Well, maybe you can turn that into a prize. We've got some tickets to Orville Peck at Cal Coast Credit Union Open Air Theater on the line today. It's Saturday, October 26th, the show. Limited tickets remain on sale at Ticketmaster.com. And you get to pick our category here. Your three choices are on the chessboard, songs that have something to do with chess or chess pieces, Stairway to Heaven, songs with heaven in the title, and Twice as Nice, song titles that have the same word repeated twice. So on the chessboard, Stairway to Heaven or Twice as Nice. James, what will it be?
Let's try Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven. All right, I think this one is pretty gettable. With some more assistance from Tier 1 Paul, who has contributed several category ideas recently, not Paul Reindl, but Tier 1 Paul, we've got 5 songs that all include the word heaven in the title, without including that Led Zeppelin classic in our category name. So you'll have 60 seconds. Get as many as you can. If you don't know one, you can pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left. First question's the 2-second song. Paulie's going to play a little music. You need to give me the song title and the artist to score that point. Paulie, I know you got to cue this one up.
I am ready.
You're ready to go. James, are you ready to play?
Oh, hang on. Let's go.
Hang on.
Paulie needs to hang on for a second.
Entire screen.
Screens have gone dark.
Is gone.
Well, I could just sing the 2-second song.
I've got the 2-second song. I don't have the 60-second timer.
Oh, 60-second timer. Well, I can manually just start my clock here. All right. We can do this. All right. 60 seconds on the clock. James, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth?
We'll make heaven a place on earth.
Bye.
I'll come back.
All right, which 1987 song from their Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me album was the first U.S. hit for The Cure?
Reaching Just Like Heaven.
Correct. Which song did Eric Clapton write to help deal with the grief of losing his 4-year-old
son? Tears in Heaven.
Correct. A cover of which Bob Dylan song appears on the 12-inch single release of Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses?
Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Correct. The chorus of which 2012 Bruno Mars' number one hit begins with the line, "'Cause your sex takes me to paradise."
Let's go back to
Okay, back to the two-second song. You got the title. Who is the artist of Heaven is a Place on Earth? 5 seconds. Time. Sorry. I manual buzzered you. James, you got three correct. You got Just Like Heaven, Tears in Heaven, and Knocking on Heaven's Door. Bruno Mars is Locked Out of Heaven, and Belinda Carlisle is Heaven is a Place on Earth. Stay on the line, though. Three. We'll see if that's good enough. Let's bring Woods back in. Am I still on manual clock here, Paulie?
Yeah.
All right.
I just made a phone call. We're working on it.
Technical difficulties, but Woods, we will press on here. James's score is locked in. Woods doesn't get the category. Makes it a little tougher. 60 seconds back on my clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on James.
Heaven is a Place on Earth, Belinda Carlisle.
Correct. Which 1987 song from their Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me album was the first U.S. hit for The Cure, reaching the top 40 on the Billboard charts?
Just Like Heaven.
Correct. Which song did Eric Clapton write to help deal with the grief of
Tears
losing
in Heaven?
Correct. A cover of which Bob Dylan song appears on
Knocking on Heaven's
Correct.
Door.
Correct. A chorus of which 2012 Bruno Mars' number one hit begins with the line, "'Cause your sex takes me to paradise."
Save that.
You've got 30 seconds here to come up with this answer.
Can you repeat the question?
The chorus of which 2012 Bruno Mars' number one hit begins with the line, "'Cause your sex takes me to paradise."
Save it again. Oh,
20 seconds left.
Heaven, something heaven. My Bruno Mars knowledge is very weak.
10 seconds.
Heaven's Taint.
Nah, it's Locked Out of Heaven.
Locked Out of Heaven. I like that song.
4-3, you sneak out the victory over our contestant James today.
Because
your
James?
Sex takes me to paradise.
Thank you.
He repeats it a few times, if I'm not mistaken, in that song.
Hi, Mike.
We'll put the prize of the concert tickets to Orville Peck back in the hopper and give them away later in the show. James, thank you for playing, though, and hopefully you make it through the traffic of 500,000 people out there. If you want an update on that traffic, Kelly Danik is standing by for you, and then we'll come back.
Not quite yet.
Oh, we can't even do that yet.
Nope,
oh,
we're not going to break for a minute.
Oh, we're just here?
Yeah, we're just chilling.
I love it.
Just waiting.
Uncensored. Well, not uncensored, just commercial-free radio right now from Ben and Woods.
For a minute, for sure.
Vamping.
Yeah.
It's a good category. Heaven.
Yeah, it was called, what was it called? Because your sex
Stairway
takes
to
me
heaven,
to
yeah.
paradise. I did not use the most popular Heaven song in the five Heaven titles.
Could have gone with Warrant and their big song, Heaven. It's a great, great song.
You know, it's tough when the title of the song is just
the category. Word, yeah.
You know what I usually do there? That's usually when it's a mystery category. And I'll start with that one word title and that becomes the rest of the category kind of hints all the way.
You probably domed him out by calling it Stairway to Heaven. He's waiting for...
Well, I told him that it wasn't,
oh,
one,
it
of
wasn't
the,
one of them.
It
okay.
was not one of the
okay.
five. He all knew right. that.
Hey, he got three, though. It's pretty good.
Three's not bad, no. Not bad at all. And he got the song title of Belinda Carlisle. He just couldn't think of...
Of Belinda Carlisle.
Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, my beloved. Man. I was a big fan of the Go-Go's back in the day.
I know you had a couple of Don't Do This stories you wanted to get to coming up. I'll throw one in right now since we're... Now vamping and waiting. Did you see the story about Snapdragon Stadium this week? Landon Donovan was irate about the field conditions for the Wave game.
I see Craig
on
Elston
Sunday and Craig tweeted
about
it as
too.
Well.
Yeah,
he wrote about it in the UT. It's they're having a real problem because obviously you got San Diego State football games, you've got Wave games. When rugby season's on, you've got Legion games. And now, of course, San Diego FC is going to be starting in February. They play like 20 home games. And the question now is, how can you possibly keep the field in playable condition? Do they have too many tenants using the same field? And are they all going to end up on a real choppy surface? Because in the Wave game, clearly...
Aesthetically, it did not look good.
Aesthetically, it was bad, but play-wise, it was bad, too. Players were slipping. You know, they hit sandy patches, so they replaced the entire turf field like a week and a half ago, but it hadn't totally set in after the last Aztecs home game. They just put a whole new field in, but it takes a few weeks for it to really settle in. So you either have, you know, a chopped up field that's been there too long, or you have a brand new field that's not, it hasn't grabbed the dirt essentially yet. So when you hit spots, you can, it gets loose and, you know, it's dangerous for players. It can lead to injuries. And, you know, Landon Donovan was not happy about it. He had some snarky comments.
Did
about,
he?
Yeah, he said, you know, when he was asked after the loss, they lost 2-0, essentially eliminated from playoff contention. Okay. And they have another game today. And the question was, what do you need to do differently? He says, well, I mean, you know, we need to not basically be falling all over our field. It's going to be, you know, would be a huge difference for us in the game going forward.
Well, and if it sounds like what you're saying, it's going to get worse.
Probably.
It's going to get worse
because
you're adding more tenants and you're chewing it up a little bit more. This can't be the only place in America that shares.
It's not, but most of them have field turf. The ones that, you know, have multiple tenants in other parts of the country. I hate to think that that's the solution.
Turf.
I mean, when you're in San Diego,
I know,
you want to have real grass. I mean, you've got such good weather for it. It's such a better surface for the health of players than field turf. But
how did it work, Benny? You grew up here when it was, when the Chargers and Padres. It was terrible, right?
I mean,
who was it worse for?
Probably the Chargers, honestly, because for the first month of the season, they'd have a big diamond dirt cutout in the middle of their football field with no grass at all.
When you ask me what I'm reminded of the 80s, other than like hair metal and excess, I remember that in several different stadiums, the dirt infield, you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, they're kind of lucky that the Padres so rarely made the playoffs. Like when 1998 rolled around, you had 2 months of, you know, dirt cut out and having to they had to rechange the whole configuration of Qualcomm Stadium for baseball and football. And doing that for 2 months was, I mean, it just didn't look good either way. It didn't look good for the World Series because, you had football games played on it. It certainly didn't look good for football games because you had the big dirt diamond that was still on the field that you couldn't cover with grass. So, you know, it was great when they both got their own facilities and the Padres moved to Petco Park. But this is a lot of teams sharing one stadium.
It really is.
And, you know, that makes sense economically. But in terms of playability and player safety, it's...
Have every coach complained about it.
Exactly. No one's going to be happy with it.
So we're back. We're up and running. It'll be like a 2-minute don't do this if you want to push that to 8:20.
Okay.
We'll just come back and reset.
All right, because we do have Adam Jones coming up at the bottom of the hour. So now that the machine is working again, we can move forward. Chet Kelly's traffic, and on we go on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You guys ready for the fastest segment in radio history?
And that was it.
All right, we'll be right back. Thanks so much for being here. We love you. We're very sorry.
No, Paulie, what happened? Just quickly, give us an update on all your issues over there. Have they been solved?
We have one computer that handles all of our drops, our commercials, our music, our entire show, and it crashed.
What happened to...
At 7:14, right before we went to break.
Redundancy. Isn't that what they call it? Redundancy. You always want to have a backup...
For the backup.
Computer, just in case, you know, something goes down. When you're on the air live... And you're working without a safety net. We're literally working without a safety net. We have one computer. It happened. Didn't it happen to, I feel like Braden or one of our, Scraby was on the air once, and he was in alone, sitting
by
with
himself.
Paul. He was running the board and hosting his show. And that computer went out, and he didn't have an engineer here. He just had to just talk for the entire hour.
I mean, literally, we had our Take on Woods guest on, the contestant, and as soon as I played the 2-second song for him, I turned my mic off and I called the engineers down the hall. I said, I need somebody over here right now.
Huh. I just would have started playing music.
I wouldn't have been able to.
If I was crazy.
Hold your phone up to the mic?
Yeah. I would have been like, all right, so I don't know if you guys have heard this, but... it's the newest song from The Cure. It's really, really good. And I would have just played it directly from my phone.
On 97.3 The Fan.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we'll take that quick timeout. We'll come back on a big league Wednesday, talk postseason and more. Padres exit with Adam Jones. He will join us coming up next. Thanks for bearing with us, everybody, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, waiting on Adam Jones on a Big League Wednesday. We'll also have Brett Boone joining us coming up at 8:35 this morning. Some headlines from Paulie in the Rindle Report as we But again, an off day for the ALCS. NLCS resumes today. Game three as the series shifts to Citi Field in New York. The Mets and the Dodgers. Dodgers will send Walker Buehler to the mound against Luis Severino, who's been a real nice bounce back pickup for the New York Mets.
What a score by them.
After, you know, he was kind of supposed to be the guy for the Yankees, you know, obviously when he was kind of younger in his career. Dealt with some injuries. They finally, you know, parted ways, and Mets kind of picked him up. But I think with their fingers crossed, like, how much can we get out of this guy? And he's been really terrific for them. They probably don't make this run and get to where they are without some really good performances from Severino down the stretch. He threw well against the Padres in the regular season, if I remember correctly. So he's been a big performer for them, and now this will be the biggest opportunity of the season for him tonight at 5:08. That's an FS1 game back to I don't know why how they decide which games are on Fox and which ones are FS1, but according to my listings, that's an FS1 TV game tonight.
Yeah, you remember correctly. He pitched well against the Padres with the Yankees in 23 and against the Mets, and with the Mets. Gave up 5 hits, 1 earned run, struck out 5 back in August of this year, Benny. Yeah, he's had a really, really good season. I don't think they paid him a ton either. I mean, he was one of those guys that was kind of a gem that they polished, and look at him now, getting a huge, huge start, man. So I've always loved watching Sevy pitch. He's a really, really good pitcher when he's dialed in. That slider gets pretty nasty, so it should be a fun one.
All right, so Paulie's calling up Adam Jones. We're going to check traffic, and then we will get to that right after Kelly's look at traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Well, what happened? Our dream of a Baltimore Orioles, San Diego Padres, Adam Jones centric World Series.
The can't lose. It was going to be the can't lose World
has
Series.
Has been lost, sadly, but we do welcome AJ, the 5-time All-Star, back with us on a Big League Wednesday. We had such high hopes all season long, Adam, and here we are. The post-mortem season is over, and it didn't go the way that we were hoping.
Yeah, it's okay. You know what I mean? I think it obviously... It stinks, but both teams, in my opinion, have very good years. A lot of good things to build on, and let's not be disappointed. There's a lot of good things to build on, and I would take it from that aspect. Obviously, the Padres in a little bit different situation than the Orioles in terms of adding money. I think some teams, Padres, might not add as much as opposed to the Orioles, but. I think both teams are in great positions to do it again next year. And I think we've got to focus on what's going on now and see who the free agents are and try to make your team better.
No doubt, man. I wanted to ask you this. How long did it take you after a season like that, you know, that was a good season? I mean, by all accounts, it was a really, really good season. You get to the playoffs and you don't come through. The team doesn't come through. They get the last out. And you're walking off the field, watching the celebration kind of over your shoulder or whatever. You go pack your stuff up. What's that like for a player?
Well, I think you try to get as far away from the game, you know, as possible.
Yeah.
And there's always, you know, you want to just be like, okay, look, let me decompress. The season's over. You know, you can show up the next couple of days to the ballpark to pack your things up a week. You know, veteran players might just not show up until, you know, December when they want to go back to work out or something, depending on whatever schedules. But I just, you know, you decompress from the series, from the season. You just, you know, either go on vacation or just go back to the house and just relax and get around your people and, you know, just to easy decompress. Go back and see your mama. Have your family around you a little bit more and, you know, just be around your loved ones.
Was it?
I think what I did is my wife definitely took us on vacation. And it was... That's why you see us all over the place now is because she just our decompression was being far away from the States as possible.
Was it super hard for you, though? I mean, because none of us really appreciate you try to and you, we try to, you know, get that message out to people, too. I just think about the number of swings. You know, Jackson Merrill talked about it after the game was over. He goes, they said, you know, what are you going to do? And he goes... He goes, I'm going to go back to Petco because I'm going to get my stuff. He goes, I might just sit at my locker. And somebody goes, you need somebody to throw you BP. And he goes, no. He goes, I've never taken so many swings in my life. And, you know, we can't fathom how many ground balls, fly balls, swings, you know, to get ready for 162 plus spring training, plus all those, the exhibition games and spring trainings. And then you get to the playoffs and it's more and more and more and more and more. I don't know that we can truly fathom it. I know there's probably a sense of relief when it's over, but how bummed are you actually that the season ends, you know, in the playoffs?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously it stinks no matter when your season ends, unless you're the last one standing. And that's
true. The
hardest thing to do in all sports is be the last one standing. Very hard to do. But if you give yourself a chance, I think you got to respect that. You know, again, the playoffs are tough. Who gets hot? Mets got hot. The Mets were literally, you know, always like two games. They were seeing like the Rangers last year.
Yeah.
Two games away from not being in the gauntlet. So you just, once you get in, it's just all about who's hot and who's not. The Tigers go in there and beat Houston. So it's, you got to respect it. You know, what stinks is if your season ends September 30th and your wife already has a trip planned for you in August, telling you plans of what she has going on. That's when the season really sucks. But if you can play the season all the way to the end of it and are fighting for a spot and you get lucky to get a spot in the postseason, no one is going to ever, you know, downplay that, in my opinion.
That's good perspective. I think it is. That's really good perspective.
What about the flip side of it? To me, I've always suspected, and I don't really know, but after you work so hard and you dedicate and you really – like this year, the Padres really bought in.
They did.
And every single one of them, all the way through, they bought into Mike Shildt. They bought into each other. And they worked so hard. And it's like when you're setting up all those dominoes and you're waiting and you want to tip them all over and have that spectacular, but you accidentally knocked one over and they all fell out and you got to start over again. And you got to start from the beginning again next season. New team, new players. How difficult is that to like, no, we are back to square one after we worked so hard to try to get there last year?
And that part, that does make a lot of sense also, is because the team is going to be different. The makeup is going to be different. Personnel, attitude, like a lot of things are going to be different next year, and that's a big point and a big factor. You know, you had Profar playing on the 1-1. He's not going to be playing on the 1-1 next year.
No question.
Is he going to repeat that year? Is he going to repeat that year that he had last year, or this year, next year, in the next couple years? So he's going to, I assume, a 3 to 4 year deal, because he had a fantastic year and he's so versatile, and I think he's a fantastic player. But will he repeat the same year? I don't know. But it ain't going to be for $1 million. I know that.
Yeah.
I can confirm on that part. So, you know, it's the personnel change is going to be different, but I think they're going to get guys, and you know, hopefully with the understanding, you know, build around you, obviously Manny and Tatis and Bogarts and Darvish, that you understand and buy into our philosophy. That's when you know, if you're going to sign somebody big and important, you're going to have to use those guys' expertise to understand what kind of philosophy we want.
I'm talking to Adam Jones here on Ben and Woods. I do think that's really important too, because it does seem like, you know, obviously they didn't get it done when it mattered the most. And it's, you know, it's hard. It's hard to turn the page, certainly. We're all still lamenting it a little bit. But I will say, one thing that the Padres did in 2024 is they established an identity. And the identity is built around guys like Jackson Merrill, Manny Machado, Xander Bogarts. We know all the usual suspects and characters. So anybody that they go out and acquire in the offseason, AJ, when they come in, I do feel like they're going to have to buy in almost immediately. And we haven't seen that here, really. We didn't see it under Bomel. We didn't see it under Tingler. We didn't, you know, the Stars weren't buying in under Andy Green and Jace Tingler and even Bob Melvin to a certain extent. They did under Shildt last year. How hard is that to continue? Or is that because you got one under your belt, is it easier now? Guys step in and they go, oh, okay, this is the way we do things around here.
Well, maybe Shildt's message was different than BMO's. I can't confirm that.
Sure.
You know, when you're the manager, obviously you are the head of, you're the captain of the team. You know, you lead the troops. When you're the bench coach, you know, you fall in line in some sort of specs. But Shildt, maybe his message was different. Maybe it was, you look it, I'm not going to be on you. I'm not going to do this. But we need to play this kind of way. We need to be better in this. Maybe he harped on things more. I can't confirm that, but I do know that they played more efficiently.
Yeah.
I think that is a, that was an easy way to see.
And more together, so, as a team for sure.
Yeah, of course. So, but again, there's going to be some question marks with personnel, and can they answer them properly? And again, will they buy into Shields' message?
We've asked you this before, but when the season ended, it ends. Let's say your season ended, end of September. When's the first date you pick up a bat?
Pick up a bat would be after New Year's.
After New Year's, okay.
After New Year's, I felt that I'd be at San Diego State, and I would get tons of swings in. Tons of swings. Again, you harped on how many swings Jackson Merrill said he took this year.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm starting in January and I'm ending in, I hope, sometime in October, that's a lot of swings. So that for me, there's no point in starting earlier. I braced myself for a long season, and I made sure I was strong physically. I worked out and starting really after Thanksgiving because,
nice.
You know, I had to grub and just show my fat self.
One last blowout.
I got back into it.
Yeah, one last blowout for Thanksgiving, and then you start the grind the following Monday.
AJ, exactly. Dodgers-Mets, game 3 tonight. Series is tied at 1 going back to New York. What are you thinking here? I mean, this one, I feel like the Yankees are in obviously really good shape. But this one looks like it could be a dogfight. What are you seeing happening here between the Dodgers and the Mets?
You know what? It's like if Buehler does what he did against the Padres and gives up an early amount of runs, they might go to the bullpen early because it's a long series. And if you get to him early and you know they start to make some moves and Severino's on, it could be tough. I looked cold from watching the Guardians and the Yankees.
God, it did.
The Dodgers ain't been in no cold weather lately. So they're going to be in some long sleeves, what it looked like from last night's game. So there's a lot of factors that's going to switch in. The sun is not going to be shining like it was in California. Baby.
It was windy as hell, too. It looked like the first night of the Yankee game. And then you saw the wind kind of hold some home run balls in. They got off
an 8:08 p.m. Eastern start. So it's well after sundown. And, it's cold and windy,
exactly.
Probably.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be a different time zone. I mean, these guys are built for this, honestly. It's the LCS.
But it's something.
Nobody's making an excuse. But they're going to be wearing long sleeves that they have not worn in a long time. Not those thin ones that look sexy. No, these ones are those thick ones that don't allow you to move too well.
So good.
Now,
so
to be fair, the Mets haven't played a ton of home games lately either because they've been on the road for the wild card series, and then they just had the non-home field advantage the next series and haven't played one outside of Dodger Stadium. So, we'll see how that plays out. AJ, appreciate it as always. Take care. We'll hopefully chat with you again next Wednesday.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, the Subway Series could happen, or the big market mash between the Dodgers and the Yankees. When was the last time they actually did have a Dodgers-Yankees World Series? Was that 1981?
Like 78 or something, but you may be right.
Late 70s, early 80s.
Was that the Reggie Jackson hit four bombs, or was that in the 70s?
That might have been, but it's been a good 40-plus years since we've seen those two teams. The ones that... You know, baseball rigs to make the World Series be Dodgers-Yankees every single year.
81.
81, that's what I thought.
Dodgers won it.
We haven't actually seen it in 43 years.
Wow.
So it's not as rigged as you might think it is to have the Dodgers and Yankees in the World Series every single year. Yankees haven't been there in 15 years. Dodgers had their, they won the short season one. They were in it in 2017 when they lost in seven games to the Houston Astros, obviously. But they have not coincided in a World Series in a long time. And then the Subway Series was 2000. I think that was the only ever Subway Series between the Mets and the Yankees. And the Yankees won that one, the fourth of their four titles.
Yeah. Excited for it, man. Excited for tonight. Love watching games like this. Honestly, you do get that sense that it could go either way. And the odds are pretty even.
Obviously, I'm cheering for the Mets, not the Dodgers. I do think... Dodgers Yankees is probably the better series in my mind. You know,
I'm not even gonna say that out loud.
I
you just think sometimes you can just think stuff to yourself.
Is that,
yeah,
that
just, to say
you don't have to say everything that comes to your mind. You just can think, or maybe when the mics go off.
I don't know. When I feel like when you just have one city for the entire World Series, it's very. It gets too much. It's like, oh, I'm so tired of New York this,
yeah,
and New
fair.
York that, and New
That's
York
fair.
This every single day. Would I, of course, rather it not
so
be Los Angeles?
The Dodgers
yes.
in it would be better?
No, not really. But...
He's just saying aesthetically.
Aesthetically, yeah. I mean, I'd just rather it be two different cities normally.
I'll tell you, the players would be elated with the Subway Series. Absolutely elated.
We retired the Dave Roberts drop. But
we did.
I'll bring it back.
Yeah, Paulie can. He can go find it. Again, we should get rid of that poster, too. I'm tired of looking at that dude's face.
As long as they lose in the end. I don't really care exactly. when they lose Fair in the enough. End, but as long as they lose in the end. All right, we'll come back. We got 2 hours to go. Still have Brett Boone's going to join us in our 8:35 segment. We got a Rattle Report in the second half of Benham Woods. We also have some new Ethan Salas sound, I believe, that we can get to coming up here with Benham Woods and Dave Roberts here on the YouTube chat on 97.3 The Fan.